Chaz and AJ, Wussification of America.
Lakeland High School in New Jersey doing away with some of the pomp and circumstance of prom night by banning limousines or party buses.
What?
My first thought was, this must be because, it gives the kids a pass to get hammered.
Right.
That or having sex or whatever.
Yeah, all those prom things.
The district says it's in the interest of safety, but equality. Some of the students aren't able to afford the cost of fancy transportation.
That's the whole point.
Exactly.
Students will be required to pay $15 to ride a school bus-sponsored coach bus.
No!
To and from the prom.
Oh, they want to make money?
$15 to get on a school bus.
So, if the kids show up in a limo, are they not going to let them in?
Nope.
That's ridiculous.
You just keep on going for a real party.
Yeah. Or drop them off at the end of the street.
Yeah, really. Yeah, we walked.
This is getting bad.
It is.
All right, so what? Some kids don't have the money to afford a limo.
Yeah, it's called life.
Yeah. I remember there were kids that actually had an after-school job that saved up all their money because prom to them was a big thing.
Exactly.
Right.
Pay for their own tux, pay for a limo.
Well, what about the actual prom itself? I remember when I was in school, those tickets were like $100. So what about the kids who can't afford prom tickets?
Yeah.
Isn't that the same thing?
Why doesn't the school do something about that first?
Exactly. Start
with the ticket price.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing they're going to do is they're going to start looking at the dresses. Like, you can't have a dress that's worth over a certain amount of money because other kids can't wear dresses of the same value.
Right. Well, they already went through the dresses for how short they were, how plunging the neckline was, stuff like that.
Revealing.
Yeah.
Might as well just not have it then.
Don't have it.
Yeah.
And that's what's eventually going to happen.
Yep.
You're not going to be able to have any celebrations because if you're celebrating somewhere, someone's not celebrating.
Yeah.
So therefore, you can't celebrate because it makes the people who aren't celebrating feel bad.
I couldn't afford going to the prom. I didn't ask anybody to go to the prom. I went to a bar that night and stole a fake ID.
I didn't go to the prom. A lot of people haven't gone to the prom and they turned out okay.
Yeah.
And, every day in school to me was like looking at kids who had it better, you know?
Yeah.
You show up, you're looking at the clothes they have and all. You know what it did for me? It made me say, I'm not going to live like this my whole life.
Yeah. May just strive for more.
That's right.
Exactly. In our high school, the students' parking lot had nicer cars than the teachers' parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
There were Trans Ams, Mustangs, Chevelles, like nice ones, right? The teachers had like a Rambler clapped out station wagon.
Yeah.
They had like, a rotted like Chevy Suburban. And then
same thing as Shelton High. It was like, where the hell did this kid go? It's like, mom and dad.
We knew it was mom and dad.
Yeah. All right, here's the superintendent. Hugh Beatty outlined the reasons for the new policy.
We make sure that the prom, which is 45 minutes away from our campus, we make sure that our students can get to it there and back here safely. We have students from various backgrounds. We have from socioeconomic backgrounds. And we wanted to provide an even playing field for all students.
An even playing field! Why? Is it a football game?
This is where parents have to stop.
Yeah, you
because
do.
Because this guy wasn't in his office and said, you know, I was thinking.
Exactly.
You know, this is a response of parents saying, hey, with the limos, you got to stop because my kid feels bad.
Two words. Shut up.
That's not being a parent. Telling your kid, go out and get a job
exactly.
is being a parent.
Earn it.
Earn it.
Right.
Do stuff around the house.
Yeah.
I'll help you.
Exactly.
Right.
That's how you do it. Now, no one can have it because, you know, so-and-so down the block can't afford to go.
Yeah. There's two problems here. One, it starts at the parent.
Yep.
My
snowflake can't attend because he didn't have a job, for God's sake.
Take the energy that you use going around bitching and try to make a better life.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Be a parent.
Yeah.
Right. And then the second problem is these superintendents. We're like, all right.
They fold like card tables.
It's just easier because these people won't stop harassing me.
Just say, this is our policy. Yeah. That's how it is.
Live with it.
Deal.
What do you think the future is going to be like? This has happened in a short period of time.
Well, it's pretty obvious, Chaz. Everybody's going to get a diploma no matter what their grades were. Because
you have to.
Everybody has to get a diploma.
Yeah.
Yep.
You were talking about that last week. They're bringing the grades down.
They're bringing the grades down to make it easier for them.
They're getting rid of the friggin' clocks so the kids can't tell time on a clock. Really? Yeah.
It's like the first thing you learn in school.
No, but I remember, these speeches at graduation used to be different.
Yes.
Celebrate.
Stand out.
Celebrate whatever it is about you that's different.
Be an individual.
Right.
All that stuff.
Work hard. Succeed. You could be anything.
Exactly.
Now it's like, oh no, we all have to be the same. How did that happen in a short period of time?
Because crazy
town
ran amok.
This isn't something like, my grandfather said, that this was like 10 years ago.
Yep.
What the hell?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard myself yelling and said, oh, I'm at it again.
I saw a snowfall at a tree out there.
Closed door.
What do you do when you're a single mom and both your kids join the military?
Party?
No. Well, I guess that's an option. That would be the
empty nest. Woo! I can dance around naked if I want to. Damn it!
Lori Hollander is here, and she's president of Help Our Military Heroes. But you weren't when your kids went off and joined the military, right?
I was not.
No. Take us through that. How did they come to that decision, and then what did you do? How did you react?
Well, my older son Robert's 33. My younger son Matthew's 31, and 9/11 is their moment.
Right. That's their Pearl Harbor.
It's their Pearl Harbor, right?
Yeah.
So
that was it. Then they both went, they witnessed that and they signed up.
They were young when that happened. So, but what did happen is as they're going through high school, my older son always wanted to be a Marine, and we were just the three of us, two dogs, three of us. And, so his brother is 3 years behind him in school. He received an appointment to West Point.
Wow. Whoa. That's good.
Yeah, it is good. It was great.
That's huge.
So Robert was up at college, and he literally said, okay, I know where my little brother's going to be. Mom's going to be fine. And he went down to the recruiter station in Brookfield, Connecticut. So he left on June 1st and 2000. Yeah.
How did you feel when all this was happening? You feel pride, but nervousness?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. No, I mean, you tell your moms, what do? We cry, we worry.
Right.
We pray.
Make food.
We make a lot of food.
You seem like you're getting a little emotional just thinking about it now.
Because I still can't believe how many years have gone by. I can't believe that we're, turning a decade since the earth shook, kind of, for me. So Matthew graduated West Point in 2010. My son Robert had two deployments. First deployment wasn't so bad. The second deployment was in 2009. He was in Nowshad, Afghanistan, and it was...
Where?
Nowshad.
It doesn't sound like a friendly place.
It was a little bit of hell on earth. And
that's their catchphrase.
How much could you communicate with your boys, especially him when he was there?
You don't. Not very much. So you kind of just sleep with your phone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
I was talking to someone last week, and I said, yeah, you're paranoid for the phone to ring. And they said, no, it's not the phone. It's the door knock.
Yeah.
You don't want the door...
Yeah, phone is good. Door knock bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't...
Phone might not be good.
And I didn't even know that
could be
much.
Wounded.
That's
but
true.
Door
that's
knock
true
is not good.
Yeah.
Right. So did you even think about that? Or were you like just living with anxiety?
Yeah, sure. I was.
Yeah.
So, yes, I was. Not ashamed.
Yeah.
Yes, there were a lot of casualties, especially this month is a really hard month. And I think mostly I just wanted them to be proud of me. I always wanted them to just be kind of proud of me because I was so proud of them. And so when they did both join, I said, I have to do something. And so I was teaching spin classes at a, New York Sports Club, which
doesn't help right there.
Yeah.
Mom's teaching spin classes, helping folks out there.
I'd be proud of anyone who could get through a spin class.
Oh,
you guys
God,
are fighting
right?
the war. She's fighting the war in fat. Come on.
Those things are brutal.
Yeah.
So
people have tried to suck me into that. I'm no fool.
Right.
Spin class? Yeah, that sounds like
Soldier,
fun.
What does your mom do? She teaches folks how to spin, sir.
Yeah.
Whoa, badass.
Right.
Woo, you're up in front.
There you go.
You're not just going to spin class. You're teaching people how to spin.
Right, without falling down.
It was fun. Best job on earth.
But then you turned that into something where you're helping heroes.
I did. I think, just kind of being up there and you're talking about a million things. But you start to connect with maybe another mom that was taking my class and her son was at the Air Force Academy. And then people just start talking about their dad serving, their grandfather serving, their son, their daughter. And
you realize there's this whole connection. We always think about the veterans. Mm-hmm. We thank the veterans. Or, we thank the people who are serving. But also it's the families that are left behind.
Exactly.
We don't think about them as much.
So I love that you said there was a connection, because what a few of us were noticing is that there was actually this huge disconnection. And there is a Marine that sadly took his life. And but his words to his mom as he was struggling with PTSD, his name was Clay Hunt. He said, "Mom, you know, we're at war, but Americans are at the mall."
Yeah.
And so there is this disconnect where 1%, maybe stretch it and say 2% are serving. And Pam's going to become part of a very small percentage of people that raise their right hand and step into service. But there's so many of us that could be doing, fill in all the gaps.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to do. So what I found out was both of my sons, their best friends are both single amputees now. So it got very close.
From war.
Yep. They stepped on IED, lost leg. So what I learned through that was VA benefits are amazing. So we have a struggling VA system. It's crazy, but I'm not going to say bad things about it because they do a lot of good. So, but the one thing I focused on is what can I do? So I got very laser focused.
So we talk about every day here on the show, when there's a problem, don't complain about it. Say, what can I do?
Exactly.
And I did it. But we're going to take a quick break, and then we want to come back and talk about what you're doing now and talk about how we can help.
Appreciate
right? Because we all say, oh, thank a veteran. Well, how about let's do something for
the
a veteran?
The perfect way.
That would be a great way to thank them. How you handle moments in your life, especially dramatic moments, I think defines who you are.
Yeah.
And Lori Hollander had two of her boys sign up for the military, and she found herself as a single mom like, what do I do now? So she created this Help Our Military Heroes organization that is all volunteer and nonprofit.
Right.
And in the years, 10-something years that she's been doing it, they've raised almost $3 million.
Nice job.
Nice.
And have bought, 130-something vans?
We'll deliver our 113th van on Friday in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Wow.
Amazing.
And these are folks who need vans because?
We're wheelchair accessible minivans. So when we started this, there's a million things you could do. So I think we just needed to be, focused, pick one thing. So we picked wheelchair accessible minivans at the time in 2009, 2010. Amputees, spinal cord injuries, traumatic brain injuries were...
All veterans.
Well, whether they're active duty or retired, medically retired.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yes.
Unreal. Mm. And Pam, you've been to some events?
Yeah, I've been to a few. One of my favorite ones was Hell Day for Heroes. It was awesome. Well, first off, the challenge was something crazy. It was something like... 500 push-ups, 500 sit-ups, 500 burpees. So we had a little team together. And
how many people on the team?
Well, the burpees you had down.
I think it was four of us. Yeah, four of us on the team,
That's
and we had to do it combined. Yeah. Well, we couldn't finish ours. So we were right next to, we were put next to the Danbury Police Department, who like banged theirs out. They were like done so quickly. So they like saw us struggling. They came over. They're like, well, we're going to help you guys out. So they helped, you know, finish our reps for us.
Yep.
But that was event.
500?
Yeah, really.
It was something crazy.
Yeah, there was a lot of motivation at that event. We had a double amputee. Tim Payne.
Yes.
And we also had a Gold Star family. So Help Our Military Heroes has been so blessed in so many ways. But Patrick Williamson was part of a striker brigade in the Army and was killed in action. His parents, Sybil and Buddy, traveled from Louisiana, and they have their own kind of a clay shoot fundraiser. And they donated $40,000.
Whoa!
Wow!
To help our military heroes.
That's
and,
great.
They actually have, through their donation to us, the furthest soldier that we've helped is in Ponape, Micronesia.
Whoa!
There you go, Micronesia existed. Micronesia.
I would not be able to find that on a clue.
No,
yeah,
but
really,
he found
it's really
us.
Tiny.
he found us through the World Wide Web, and we were able to help him. Cover the costs of his minivan, which then had to travel through Guam out to Ponape. It rains 200 inches a year there, so there's tends to be in, you know, 100% humidity. So
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, triple amputee.
The amount of people. You know, yeah. It's not just a one-time help, like here's a meal. This is something that changes their lives. And makes
sure.
Yeah. Like Sean Pesci, you introduced us to Sean for our Veterans Gala.
Yeah, funny thing, though. Sean was, you know, he's young, he's a badass, he's a ranger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, wheelchair-accessible minivans are the perfect vehicle if you're in a wheelchair. If it's raining, if it's snowing, ramp comes down, you're in your vehicle, dry, quick. But when you're young, you want a Corvette.
You do. Yeah.
You'll figure out a way to break down your wheelchair, throw it in the back seat. So it's very funny. We love the family. I get to talk to his mom a lot. But so he's not a van recipient. But, you know, when you guys reached out, he's in Connecticut. And we love who built his home. So
The house is awesome.
But we always say, right, rising tides raise all boats. So we're not just for Help Our Military Heroes.
Well, it's an honor to meet you, and thanks for coming on. And we want to do more stuff with you and your group. And we need more people like you in our community.
It's true.
Thank you,
Lori.
You know,
something not so inspiring, those damn tolls.
Another fight we have.
Those pesky tolls keep coming back.
Yeah.
And there is a public hearing on tolls, which to me is a dog and pony show.
It is.
Let's act like we're listening.
Yeah, we want to hear what you have to say.
So as we ram things through, we can say we heard from the constituency.
We asked them. They all said they're in favor of it.
Yeah. It's happening tomorrow at the Legislative Building, 300 Capitol Avenue in Hartford. It's happening from 7:30 to 9 a.m. Oh, that's actually when you arrive to sign up to speak, if you want to speak.
Yeah.
7:30 to 9, and then the hearing actually begins at 11. We're linked up at ChazandAJMorning.com, and if you can't make it, you can sign a petition online, you can send testimony online, it's all there. But Tim Herp says we don't need tolls. You remember Tim Herp?
Of course I do.
He was the, first selectman or mayor of Trumbull?
First selectman of Trumbull.
First selectman of Trumbull.
Yep.
Ran for, was it, not comptroller, the other one. What's the other one? Denise Napier.
Treasurer.
Right. Yeah.
Got within striking distance, then ran for governor.
Yep. And did good to it also.
Yeah, he's on the phone now. So what do we do instead of these tolls? How do we pay for stuff, Tim?
Well, good morning. And last week I said in the Hartford Courant, I wrote an op-ed, I said, before the state of Connecticut institutes tolls and tries to find yet another revenue source to fund their pet projects, there needs to be a full forensic audit of the Special Transportation Fund. The taxpayers of Connecticut have every right to know.
All right, but let's start at the end and work back. Tell me what we would find in such an audit.
Well, what you're going to find is, for example, we spent $600 million on a 9.4-mile busway from New Britain to Hartford.
But we know that already,
right? Yeah, the
empty
bus, yes.
Yeah, you know, but if you were to go on that bus line and see all those empty seats, and then you're going to say to yourself, we're spending $25 million a year to operate it, yet it only generates $3.2 million a year in revenue. It's a loser. in terms of efficiency, effectiveness. That's
but
money
do we need to pay for a forensic audit to list the wasteful spending and get it in front of voters?
Yes, because the politicians are incapable of doing this themselves. We need somebody who's neutral, disinterested.
Yeah, I see qualified. Neutral is the key word.
It's disinterested, yeah.
Disinterested.
Yeah. You know, to come in and really give this a top-down look. You know, the Special Transportation Fund not only needs a forensic audit, it needs a colonoscopy without anesthesia.
Gotcha.
It is really bad.
I did that, by the way.
Yeah. It's not easy. You feel everything.
Speaking from experience.
Yeah. Right.
Well, not bad, actually.
The nice thing, you can drive yourself after. But...
And hit those high notes, too.
Yeah.
You just can't
but
sit.
Chaz, maybe you should do the audit.
Yeah, I hear the word audit, and yeah. Like, yeah, I'm out.
Yeah. I think rowdy.
You know, I don't even know where to begin with this one. It almost seems like we're doomed, you know?
Yeah.
You know, one thing we've learned from the Hartford Insiders, the more money you give them, the more they're going to find a way to misappropriate it. They told us the gas tax is going to solve all of our transportation problems. They told us if you increase the gas tax, we're going to fix everything. You cannot give them another revenue source.
Tim, here's the thing. I'm with you, right?
Totally with you.
I'm with you. But we went through all of this during the election, and the voters spoke. And, you know, I don't know who these people are, but they spoke. And so, what do we do now?
Pitchforks. Pitchforks and torches. Mm-hmm. Storm the Capitol.
AJ, if we could get the people out to vote, I
think
they
get behind this one. Yeah. They can't get us all.
Well, let's also remember, though, to your point, in the election, the governor said that his proposal was to toll only trucks and tractor trailers.
Yes.
That's not what's happening now. So a lot of voters probably went in the booth and said, as long as it's not me and if it's out-of-state tractor trailers, I'm okay with that. All the while, we all knew internally that that was probably not going to be the case.
But I don't know. I know a lot of Democrats. You can't live in this state without having a lot of friends that are registered that way.
Yeah.
And I don't know any of them who didn't, in the back of their mind, think that it was probably going to happen. And I haven't talked to one person who said, wow, I voted for that ass, and now he betrayed me. You know?
You knew what was going on when you got him in.
I feel like everyone who voted for him kind of knew we were going to get, taxes up the yin-yang.
Right, so make them pay it.
Yeah.
You voted for him, you pay.
Well, I just think everyone needs to remain engaged, be vocal, speak out. And more importantly, you want to send a message to people in Hartford about tolls. It's not just the governor. There are a lot of newly elected senators and representatives that are in communities that are very anti-toll. Senator Bergstein in Greenwich needs to be held accountable. Senator Haskell in Wilton needs to be held accountable. Their constituents, their residents, especially those in southwestern Connecticut, are going to get hammered as a result of tolls. There's going to be traffic congestion.
You just named a couple people who aren't going to change their vote. Shouldn't anyone against tolls focus on the people who are going to change or could change a vote?
I think that they could. I think we should focus on those people because if they have enough pressure applied, they're going to be very concerned going into their first re-election that you have a very angry constituency with respect to an issue that I think generates a lot of volatility.
The one thing I think Republicans come up short here in this fight is you have to do all the work. One, you have to go through and do a bullet point list of look at all the wasteful spending. Here it is.
Yeah.
Very simple. Charts, graphs, pictures.
Easy to read.
Very simple.
And cartoon characters.
Right? And then here's a list of people on the fence. Call these people.
Right. Sway them your way.
Yeah. Here they are. They're in very difficult races. And these are the people we could sway.
Here's your targets.
Right? So you have to make it easy for everyone.
You do, unfortunately.
That's the work the Republicans didn't do during the election and have to do now.
I agree.
Yeah. So I appreciate you coming on, though. Keep fighting the fight, Tim.
Yeah, please. We will, too.
Always great talking to you guys.
Hey, we're going to be in your backyard. What is it, April 9th? We're accepting... we're really thrilled to accept the Champion of Youth Award by the Boys and Girls Club of the Lower Naugatuck Valley. We're going to be at the Stone Barn in Monroe.
Yay.
If you're not busy.
I'm going to come up and see you guys because it's always great to see you in person.
All right,
sounds good.
Yay.
Man.
Thank you.
See you then.
All right.
Take care.
You too.
Tim Herbst. Hey, can I just play this Family Feud clip? Phil, do you have it? This is like if you think, just Connecticut think. We in Connecticut think we suck, but the rest of the country, they have no idea how bad we suck.
Right.
Here's a clip from The Family Feud.
Other than New York, name an East Coast state tourists love to visit. You said the ever-popular Connecticut. Survey said...
That's our new theme song for Connecticut.
I love how the audience laughs.
Right. So he says the ever-popular Connecticut. Steve Harvey knows. The audience laughs.
Everybody
they
knows.
Know.
Yep.
The buzzer knows.
Yep. The person guessing didn't know.
I thought the governor would run around in the first few months and just make even fake gestures.
Right.
Connecticut's open for business. Bring your company here.
Oh, we got a gesture, all right. We got a gesture, all right.
December 23rd, 2015, something happened in Connecticut that will change the way things are done in courtrooms forever. Ann Kay Howard is in the studio. What happened?
Well, on that day, it's alleged that Richard DeBate of Ellington, Connecticut, murdered his wife, Connie DeBate, in their home. And what's interesting about this case is Richard says that it was, in fact, a home intruder. It was a home invasion, a masked intruder who looked like Vin Diesel, wearing camouflage, broke into their home. And that's how the murder came about. But the
sounded like Vin Diesel.
It did.
He said he sounded like Vin Diesel.
Really?
Exactly.
It's a very distinctive voice.
Oh, gotcha.
Exactly. And what happened was the victim, Connie, his wife, was wearing a Fitbit. She had just come back from a canceled exercise class at the YMCA. The kids were at school. The house was empty except for Richard and her. And Richard said that Connie was murdered by this home intruder at about 9 o'clock in the morning. But the Fitbit showed that there was movement. Connie was still moving about the house as late as an hour later. So this is going to be the first time in our nation's history that an electronic exercise device is going to be entered into evidence in a murder trial, and it's going to serve as a silent witness to what really happened that morning.
Interesting. Yeah. Plus, she had posted something on Facebook between the time he said she was killed, like after the time he said.
Exactly. Right. He said 9 o'clock in the morning, but 9:46, she posted two videos on Facebook. And also the other interesting thing.
I have a feeling if someone breaks into a house and murder someone, they're not going to go on their Facebook and say, which video from their phone should I post right now?
Exactly right, yeah. How to cover things up.
But it was interesting to hear the story that he said happened. So they break in.
Right.
Right?
So this man...
He says a guy breaks in.
Right.
Yep, and he allegedly comes up to the bedroom, and there's a struggle with Richard. The wife flees down to the basement, to the boiler room, and the intruder chases after the wife. Now, here's the interesting thing. The intruder grabs hold of Richard's .357 Magnum revolver.
So that he just purchased.
2 months ago.
Ah.
Right.
Fishing.
Yeah. And
now, how did the intruder know where that was?
You know, I don't know. The police affidavit.
Post on Facebook?
Right.
It does not say that in the affidavits. Hopefully that information will come out at trial.
So he has a struggle with the intruder. Mm-hmm. Wife runs off. Intruder grabs his gun and chases her. Now, what does he do? What does he say he does?
Well, he claims that he followed the intruder because obviously he wants to protect his wife if there's some guy going after her. And he meets them up in the boiler room of the basement. The intruder shoots the wife at the back of her head and in her torso.
Ugh.
Yeah. And then Richard starts to struggle with him in the boiler room of the basement. And he claims that this Vin Diesel-like character wearing camouflage and a mask, he does some kind of pressure point thing to Richard's wrist and neck, and that causes Richard to weaken and succumb. And that enables the intruder to zip tie him to a metal chair in the basement.
But leaves one arm free.
Right.
That's convenient.
Right. So he kills the wife.
Thank God my right arm is free. He forgot to zip tie my right arm because now I could do something to him.
Exactly.
Right. And it's his dominant hand as well.
Right.
And the intruder grabs hold of Richard's toolbox, and there's a blowtorch in the toolbox, and the intruder starts blowing it at Richard's face as he's zip tied to the chair and burns Richard. Now, fortunately, Richard has his right arm free, and he's able to grab hold of that blowtorch and direct it at the intruder's face, lighting his mask on fire. And then the intruder, you know, is burning on fire, runs up the stairs and flees the house.
Right.
Interesting.
Mm, right. This way, that's why his fingerprints are on the blowtorch now, because I used it to fend off Vin Diesel.
Yeah, Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's nothing on me.
There's an interesting twist in this, so we got to talk about that in a second. Yeah. This all happened in Ellington. Attorney at law and true crime writer Ann K. Howard is here. And what an amazing story from Ellington, Connecticut. Cases will never be the same now. This is the first time a Fitbit will be used in a murder trial.
Right.
And so this guy, Richard DeBate, said that an intruder came into the house, fought with him, grabbed his gun, ran downstairs, shot his wife, strapped him to a chair, left his right arm free.
Right.
Went into his toolbox, started using the blowtorch on him. He grabs the intruder's hand with the blowtorch, turns it on him,
right.
Burns his mask, and he goes running off.
Exactly.
Which is a pretty amazing story.
Sounds like James Bond, actually.
Some of the other details from this?
Well, then he crawls up the stairs, and he's still got the chair.
Still attached to the chair.
Yeah, right. It's still attached to him. Mm. And this is what he says. He calls 911, and the police come and find him there. But we're finding that there are some motives behind this. If, in fact, he did do it, there are two main motives. First, he was having a 7-year affair, and his girlfriend was 7 months pregnant.
Oops. Oh, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Bought the .357 Magnum that was used 2 weeks before it was used to kill her.
2 months. 2 months.
2 months.
2 months.
Yeah. So he had time to plan if he did it. He had time to plan. Yeah. And, you know, with that gun, in terms of forensics in this case, they did not find, they found his fingerprints on the handle of the gun. And they did find prints of an unknown person. So who knows? That could have been the person that sold him the gun.
Yeah.
We don't
know.
But his hands
were
had...
Were the prints identifiable? The other prints?
We don't know that. We don't know that. But the gun residue was on Richard's shirt.
Oops.
All right.
But not on his hand.
But not on his hands.
So he had a glove somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Or washed his hands.
Right. Yeah.
Right? And
does it really come off, though, when you wash it? Soap and water?
I feel like
there'll be a little left.
Maybe bleach and hot water. But yeah, gloves. That's a good idea. You seem to know what you're talking about.
I'm fascinated with this stuff. I watch Forensic Files because it's 30 minutes of real. The one thing I learned from watching that show is if you plan and get away with murder, you're just really lucky.
Yeah.
Because it's almost impossible to not leave something behind.
And that's what's so interesting about this case, Chaz, is that in this day of electronic...
This guy is not a genius.
No, he's not. But in this day of electronic evidence, you know, for example, this...
Wait, can I backtrack? I said he's not a genius if he's not a victim. Okay? Because this is all alleged.
Right.
Right?
It
he's
is
charged
all
with
alleged.
An alleged crime.
Right.
But the story is hard to believe. I'm sure when the cops showed up, they're like, oh, man, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
This is...
It smelt fishy.
Right. Then the Fitbit suggested that she was doing stuff after the time he said she was killed. She posted video on Facebook after the time.
The alarm system that they had in the house showed movement activity where there were discrepancies between Richard's story of how it started in the bedroom and went down to the basement. The alarm system showed all sorts of activity all over the house during that hour or so period that wasn't consistent with his story. Yeah. And then they brought dogs to the scene when they came. The police brought 2 or 3 police dogs. And the dogs...
So that tells you right then these cops knew immediately we need to...
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a deal. Yeah.
Sniffing out.
Yeah.
Dogs are sniffing around. They're trying to see if they can sniff out the intruder's scent, right? Mm-hmm. But all the dogs could sniff was Richard's sent. In fact, they brought Richard to the ambulance because he had some minor little flesh wounds. He claimed this guy also took a box cutter to him and was cutting at his chest. And as
so, did he ever explain why an intruder would want to come into his house? Did the intruder steal anything? Did it look like the intruder was going through the house looking for something?
We do not have any evidence that anything was taken. In fact, they commented that the house was remarkably pristine and organized and clean in light of this conflict that he says took place.
So they had a fight with with the guy.
Right.
Yeah.
It was a neat intruder, though. Every time he hit him, he'd put something back.
So these scent dogs.
Yeah, so they're following Richard to the ambulance, and one of them is following Richard right to the ambulance.
The dog.
Sniffing at him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, he's still sniffing at Richard.
Yeah. Basically telling the cops, like, yeah, I got your guy right here.
Hey, hello.
So what do I need to do? Like, put him in the car for you?
You know what? Hey,
I know. Case closed.
I'll lift my leg on him.
Give me my treat. I got it done.
If I pee on him, everyone.
Hello.
He's right here. He's getting in the ambulance.
Listen to me.
Hello.
Yeah.
God, I wish I could talk.
But, you know, we got another motive. Money.
All right. So you said the motive. There were a couple of motives you mentioned in the last break.
Yep.
All right. He had a 7-year affair, allegedly.
Mm-hmm.
Is that alleged or confirmed?
No, that's confirmed.
And then she was 7 months pregnant.
Yeah. And police interviewed the mistress, and that's in the affidavit as well, where the mistress said, well, he told me that he was planning to divorce her.
Right.
And he was afraid of divorcing her, though, because...
I always say that.
Because his family and friends would reject him, and he also said he'd be broke if he got a divorce. And on the other hand, he said that his wife knew completely about the affair, and that she knew that his girlfriend was pregnant, and she even was nice enough to say that she would co-parent this child with him and his mistress. Okay. Now the wife's family.
There's
and friends,
a lie right there.
Really?
Guys. He's all right. Well, if all this is true, man, he's the victim of the worst circumstances.
Seriously, right?
He is.
Like, oh man, what a bad day you're having.
Everybody said all this stuff.
This is incredible.
What? Yeah.
Incredible.
But the wife allegedly had no clue that he was having an
affair. The family of the wife said, this is none of this makes sense.
Right.
They took his computers, I'm guessing.
They did.
They're not going to find anything. You know why?
Why?
Because he's a computer guy.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a laptop somewhere sitting in the bottom of the water that he knew. You know, everybody knows their computer's going to get searched. It's amazing how stupid some people are.
Right.
They're doing Google searches, how to kill people with arsenic.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like you killed them with arsenic. Right. Really?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
But I think people, like a computer guy's going to be more sophisticated. So what you're going to have to do is look for some computer that was bought years ago or something that was purchased in a pawn shop or something, and now you can't find it. That's where all the information is going to be.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But how much information do you need to research if you're going to do something that stupid?
Yeah,
because it's not how to stage a crime, because there wasn't a lot of that. And of course, I'm just surmising here. I realize he might be a victim of horrible circumstances.
These are theories.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
There was almost a $500,000 life insurance policy. So 5 days after Connie died, Richard tried to cash in on that life insurance policy.
Is grieving. That too soon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it?
If you're grieving, you'll wait a little while.
Think about all the things you also have to do, like plan the funeral, your
mourning.
Yeah,
you also
mourning.
Have to pay for a funeral. Yeah. No, I agree, but I'm just wondering, is it too soon?
It's too soon.
Well, he could have paid.
What's the right time?
He could have paid for the funeral from her $93,000 investment money that she also had. But what he did with that $93,000 investment fund is he drained it shortly after she was murdered as well. So
do you know
he,
what he did
have
with
other money. I don't know what he did. I know that his credit cards that he took out in her name before the murder, he went to a Tolan strip club. He would rent Motel 6 rooms for him and his mistress. He would buy his mistress flowers.
Damn.
So I don't know what he did with that $93,000, but all that was left by December was $6.42.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So he sucks with money, too.
Yeah.
This will be the most amazing case in the history of cases if somehow they find this Vin Diesel guy, and he's like, yeah, all of that is true.
Yeah. With
like a melted face.
Yeah, here's my burn mask. Here's my burn mask.
Some guy.
Yeah,
he gets pulled over for speeding in Ellington.
Right.
And he sounds like Vin Diesel.
Exactly right.
And he's got a face burn. It's like, hey.
Yeah.
And then the Innocence Project frees Richard DeBate, and he gets a windfall from a wrongful conviction suit.
Yeah.
Right. That could happen.
Anything, yes.
You never
could
know. Happen.
You at least check Walmart for the camo pants.
Yeah, that's a...
yeah.
That seems like anyone can prosecute that one and get a conviction.
Yeah.
When does that go to trial?
Well, you know, it's on the trial list for April. So it could happen as early as April. But you know the way these things
work. Are they trying to move it for pretrial publicity?
Yeah, they're trying to change venue from, I believe it's at the Rockville Superior Court. Last time that happened, though, was with the wood chipper case in the 80s.
Richard Kraft. Always confused with Robert Kraft.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Two different people.
Right, right.
Yeah. Very different people.
Yeah.
Richard Kraft killed his body and
killed
his wife. And that was the inspiration for that scene in Fargo.
Right. Did they move the Richard Kraft trial?
They did, I believe. Yeah.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Keep us posted on this one.
I will.
We're linked up to all Ann's stuff, which is very fascinating. She's working on another book, has a couple of really good books. We're linked up at ChazAndAJInTheMorning.com. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah! It's time for Chaz and AJ Dumbass News.
Thank you.
Dumbass.
Brought to you by PurpleFuels.com. When you see a dumbass in the news, send it to Dumbass News at ChazAndAJInTheMorning.com.
Yeah!
Panda suit, 911 call. AJ, what happened?
Okay, so this guy wanted to prank his neighbor, so he decided to dress into a panda suit and walk around the snow to prank his neighbor. Another neighbor.
Where was this?
I don't recall.
United States?
It was here in the United States, yes. So what ended up happening was a neighbor saw him dressed in a panda suit, thought there was shenanigans going on, and called the police.
Shenanigans.
So we're going to hear.
Like, did he think it was a live panda, or did he think
that someone was doing something stupid.
Yeah,
in a panda
suit. You're going to do an armed robbery with a panda suit on.
Exactly, right. Right, so we have part of the 911 call, and then we have audio from the guy who was in the panda suit.
Oh.
Muskego 911. And do you have a description of the person?
It's a big teddy bear.
It's a big what? I'm sorry?
Teddy bear. Honest to God.
Somebody dressed
so
as a...
stupid.
Get your bears right.
Yeah.
It's not a teddy bear.
Yeah, black and white bear is a panda bear, boob.
The only bear that looks like that.
Exactly.
Right.
Just think Panda Express.
Oh, my God.
Just think that movie where it had, what's his name?
Kung Fu Panda.
Kung Fu Panda, thank you.
You're welcome.
I was trying to think of the actor.
Jack Black,
that's it.
There you go.
Yeah, I was thinking Jay Black, but Jack Black.
Well, yeah, Jay Black.
By the way, missed opportunity to have Jack Black and Jack White both in that movie.
Black and white.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Teddy bear. Honest to God.
Somebody dressed as a teddy bear?
Yep.
Okay. We do have officers that are going to be in the area in just a moment.
I knew that my neighbors had a security camera set up. And I thought, well, I'm going to make the ordinary extraordinary. I'm going to dress up in the panda outfit. So just as I was about to pivot up and walk up my lawn, I turn around and I see at least three squad cars with a fourth and a fifth coming. I paid about $125 for this costume. I'm going to get my money's worth.
It means I dine it or not.
Yeah. I'm not this guy tased.
Why?
Well, he wouldn't feel
I want it. The one who called 911 tased.
He wouldn't. Yes. He wouldn't feel in that panda outfit.
Tie them both together and tase the crap out of him.
He was bamboozled.
I got you.
Okay.
Because pandas eat bamboo.
Yes, they do.
It's freaking funny. I'm sorry.
I don't think anyone's ever screamed that on the show because pandas eat bamboo.
I'm gonna call 911 on that joke.
I don't think I've ever heard that. I don't think I've ever heard that yelled before.
That was like joke terrorism.
You should be a school teacher. All right, kids, because pandas eat bamboo.
That'll quiet him down.
Yeah, right.